Welcome to this anointed message taught by Pastor Lynn Schall of Amazing Grace Fellowship. We believe your life will be enriched by hearing the word of truth, the reality of faith, and the message of the goodness of God. Here's Pastor Lynn.
I've been trying to kind of do a Reader's Digest version of some Pentecost stuff. You know, Jesus rose from the dead on which day? At least that we celebrated. Oh, on Easter. Wow. That's real insightful. What day on the calendar would that be? Wow. We just got an informed bunch of people. Holy smoke. On which day would that be? March 31st. Man, let's just go home. Anyhow, 50 days later is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That's why it's called Pentecost. Jesus was upon the earth after he rose from the dead. How many days? 40 days, right? And then he ascended up on high. So that leaves how many days in the upper room? We weren't there. We don't know exactly. And it doesn't say 10. We're just, through the process of deduction, we're just kind of figuring this out. So at least 10 days. It's probably more than likely that they were together, you know, a lot during that time. But we know that when Jesus ascended up on high, he told them to go to Jerusalem until you be endued with power up on high, right? And then he talked about in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, you'll receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You'll be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth, right? And then he was received up into heaven, and there they go. They're in the upper room now. We talked on Wednesday night, not this last one, but the Wednesday night before. We talked about the power of unity, and how many of you know it really does take God to bring unity. Isn't that right? I mean, in a couple, in a husband and wife, it takes quite a bit of effort to be united. Isn't that right? And that's just with two people. And so when it says in the book of Acts chapter 2 that they were all in one accord in one place, I don't believe at all that that just happened instantly. I believe it happened in the process of time. And last Wednesday night, we talked about the power of prayer and how that prayer produces unity. And what I want to talk a little bit about today is receptivity. Everybody say receptivity. Or being teachable or being open, because one of the things that I believe is that if we're going to grow in God, if that's a goal, and how many of you want to grow in God? Okay. To grow in God is going to take some things. How many of you know growing in Christ is not a given? It's not automatic. It isn't going to happen just because. It's going to take a concerted effort on our part to do that. Now, how many of you know God wants us to grow in Him? Isn't that right? For that to happen, though, I believe we all have to have kind of the heart that the disciples had. Because listen, when Jesus ascended up on high, now all of a sudden they're left. It's just them. This thing called the church has begun without Jesus being physically present with them to say, do this, don't do this, or whatever. Now all of a sudden they're just dependent. They're dependent upon God just like you and I are. I think that maybe they even had a little bit more of a difficulty from the perspective is they didn't have the New Testament to read what this New Testament church was going to look like, right? They didn't have the roadmap sort of that we have. At least we can go back and look at the New Testament and go, wow, that's how you do things. They didn't have that. But it says here in John chapter 14, verse 16, Jesus talking, you see it in red, I will pray the Father, he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I'll come to you. Aren't you thankful that we weren't left as orphans? Just for a moment in time, think about the person of the Holy Spirit and how it separates the dynamic of the Holy Spirit residing on the inside. That is the change factor in Christianity being a religion, if I could say it this way, that's a religion that sits on a shelf all by itself. It's because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit that indwells us. You remove the person of the Holy Spirit from the Christian experience. Christianity then only becomes a set of beliefs, a philosophical structure that sets on a shelf with all the others. But how many of you know because the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of us, that's the game changer in the whole thing. Do you agree with that? Think about, have you ever experienced the ministry of the Holy Spirit that was intangible? In other words, let me say it this way. Have you ever, I hate to use the phrase like this because it conjures up. Have you ever sensed the presence of the Lord? Okay. So that could be subjective. But have you ever been seeking something, either natural, you lost something and you prayed to the Lord, help me find this, or just whatever it may be. And all of a sudden you knew where to go. You knew what to do. You knew what to say. Where does that come from, guys? That comes from the ministry of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And aren't you thankful for that? Because that's the game changer. If you remove the Holy Spirit, then Christianity is just a set of beliefs that's kind of cold, kind of hard, and you either believe it or you don't. But I'm thankful that the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of us, that there's something on the inside of me that I know, that I experience. I can sense, you know, use whatever adjectives you can use, but you know, how many of you have ever been in a situation that your world is upside down? You just cry out to God in desperation. You cry out to God, maybe even out of your hurt, out of your despair, whatever it may be. And then all of a sudden inside, peace comes and you know it's going to be okay. Where does that come from? The Holy Spirit. In other words, just belief in itself doesn't produce that kind of stuff. It's the Spirit of God. How many of you have ever been reading a scripture and all of a sudden you got it? Where does that come from? That's the Holy Spirit, because he's a teacher. Let's go on and read. A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live. You will live also. Somebody ought to write a song about because he lives. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it's he who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him. We will come to him and make our abode with him. Through who? The person of the Holy Spirit. He who doesn't love me doesn't keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I've spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things that I said to you. Bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. I find it interesting, amazing, holy, every time when somebody comes up to me, you know, maybe after a service or just throughout the week or whatever, and say, you know what, that sermon or that song, I know it happens during praise and worship. Somebody will, you know, Rob will have a set of music picked out that day, and we'll be worshiping the Lord. And Rob's had reports like this. I get reports like this. It's like, you know, when you sang that song, it was like God speaking to me. I find it interesting. Somebody will come and say, boy, you know, when you were speaking today, it was just like the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. And I'll usually try to respond and say, what was it specifically? And they'll say something, and somebody else will come up and say, you were speaking to me. And what was said to them was completely different. Same building, same whatever. Isn't that amazing? Who does that? That's the Holy Spirit. It's interesting that somebody can, we could read one scripture, we could take a scripture verse, read it today, and inevitably, the Holy Spirit can take something that's available to all, but uniquely tailor it to every one of us. And if we could testify of what we, if I could say it this way, got from it, it could be so different, but it's the Holy Spirit that does that. Listen, aren't you thankful for the Holy Spirit? Oh, I'm so glad that when Jesus left, he didn't say, well, see ya. Hope you got it. Stay strong. We have him. We have the Holy Spirit. We have God dwelling on the inside of us. And then listen, as we go into this, here's the thing that I'm struck with. Is the Holy Spirit of God wants to impact our lives in two areas. You've heard me probably say this just in passing sometimes when I pray. God wants to do things to us and do things through us. What's cool about God is it can be simultaneous, right? I was sharing that on the back of that keyboard, there's an input, and it's called MIDI. And it's all in capital letters because that stands for something. And I don't know what the MI stands for. Do you know, Rob? I know what the DI stands for. It's digital interface. I don't know what the MI stands for. But when that came out in electric technology, let me tell you why it's miraculous or why it's life-changing. Because a cable can receive and send a signal simultaneous. Signal can go out, another signal can come in over the same wire, simultaneous. That's incredible. How many of you know God can do that with us? God wants to change us, change me, but in the process, He wants to go through me to help bring life and change to other people. All right, amen? So here's the thing. How many of you are saved this morning? How many of you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior? Raise your hand. How many of you know God wants to not only impact us, He wants to do something to me, but He wants to do something through me. Now, a lot of times people come to the spot and they'll have this idea that, well, I'm not good enough. I'm not able to do that because I got my own issues. How many of you know we all turn to your neighbor and say, you have issues? Okay. You might not want to say it with that kind of an attitude, but how many of you know we all do have issues, right? There's stuff that all of us have. There's not a perfect person in the room. And the idea is a lot of Christians, it's kind of a sweet sentiment, but the sweet sentiment can go sour real quick because we have this idea, well, I can't touch anybody else because I got so much of my own stuff going on. But how many of you know that when do you get perfect or good enough? The answer is you don't. You never get good enough. You never get whatever. And you know what? The thing is that in our striving to have God change us, which we should all want that and be open and receptive to that, what we have to realize is that God also simultaneously wants to use us to touch somebody else through the power and the ministry of His Holy Spirit. Amen? So, I want to just challenge us. There's probably a spectrum of extremes. And where are we in this spectrum? Not a one of us in here, hopefully, would say to God, you know what? I know enough. I don't want to know anymore. Now just stop. Leave me alone. Right? None of us would hopefully be that arrogant. At the same time, we can be clear on the other side of just feeling like we're a worm of the dust and we just, you know, we're not worthy. Are you with me? The thing is that what I'm intrigued with the disciples is how they had to quickly adopt a heart of receptivity to the leading of God of how to do life. And we have to develop that in us. Amen. Here's one of the most dangerous things. And I think a lot of Christians are there and maybe just aren't aware that they're there. One of the most dangerous things that we can say is, I know enough. That's not to say we say, I know it all. But it's really dangerous to say, I know enough. Because once we get to that spot, whether we know it or not, when we get to the spot, well, I know enough. How many of you know we cease to grow right then? We really do. And we cease to receive. And when I think of receptivity, just so you kind of have an idea of the picture I'm creating in my brain, when I see, if you were to take a sponge and put it under a spout of water and turn that spout on a little bit. A receptivity with the things of God is the picture I'm trying to make. It doesn't even splash. That sponge just receives it, right? It's kind of like you all maybe have been using some potting soil to start maybe seeds inside for your garden or whatever. That potting soil has a high amount of what's called organic matter. And if you run water on that, what's amazing, until it becomes saturated, it won't even splash. You know what I'm talking about? So that's the picture in your brain that I'm talking about that I want our heart to get to. That it, when it comes to the things of God, that we're that receptive that when God begins to pour in us, pour what in us? Pour His wisdom, pour His power, pour His correction, pour whatever it is in us, that it doesn't splash and get unused, but that we just receive it all. Amen. Let's read a little bit about this from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24. God has a lot to say about those who are not open to His dealings, who aren't teachable or who won't listen to Him. And I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to give you a disclaimer. I'm going to give you an asterisk. It's pretty tough reading. It says this, because I've called and you refused, I've stretched out my hand, no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I will laugh at your calamity. I'll mock when your terror comes. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's pretty strong drink right there. That really is, isn't it? Now look, When your terror comes like a storm, your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then you'll call to me, but I won't answer. You'll seek me diligently, but you'll not find me. That's pretty strong words. In other words, what God is saying, look, when I came to you to give you some wisdom, to give you some counsel, to give you maybe a little bit of correction or whatever it is, oh, you wouldn't receive it. But you know what? Now when you're reaping the consequences of your decisions, and how many of you know, every decision we make, guys, carries a consequence. Good or bad. Isn't that right? How many of you know our society needs to get that figured out real quick? We have the, it wasn't me, it was Julie mentality. Whenever I say that, I can tell the people who've watched Rocket Man. You laugh on the end. Have you ever seen Rocket Man? How many of you, have never watched Rocket Man, raise your hand. Oh my Lord. You're a depraved group of people. Well, listen, for those of you who've watched it, am I okay in saying that it's a good one to watch? I'm just trying to think, is it's really clean? Yeah? If you want to watch a comedy that you can just double stitch over and laugh your head off, that's a good one to watch. It's called Rocket Man, okay? So go ahead and rent it. Now you'll know what I mean when I say, what me, it's Julie. The idea was, is whatever happened, when he got called on the carpet, there was a Julie as a character in there. That he go, oh, wasn't me, it was Julie. Our decisions carry with it a consequence. And listen, a decision to be receptive to God, a decision to be teachable by God, carries with it as well consequences. Let's go. Verse 29. Because they hated knowledge and didn't choose the fear of the Lord, they would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. I like verse 33. But whoever listens to me will dwell in safety and will be secure without fear of evil. Our learning stops when we're not receptive to new things. Amen? I've shared this in a different context before, but it's still probably one of the more profound things that I've heard just from another human. A guy that I love, his name is Paul Tierney, kind of in the rodeo world for his era, kind of, you know, dominated for years. And if you were to look at a PRCA guide media and go to the Badlands circuit, you're going to see this guy's name at the top from the middle to early 70s, clear up into the middle 90s. Span of 20 plus years that he was at the top of his game, just there all the time. And in the timed event championship, which is kind of like an Ironman triathlon in the rodeo world, he's won that four times. Won his last one, I think, when he was 52 years old and up against the young guns. And anyhow, just a guy that I really respect. And I was asking Paul once when he was out here at one of our champions rodeo camp, and it's been so profound to me. I asked him, I said, you know, of all the hundreds of kids that you have done clinics for over the years, all across America for 25 plus years, now he's over, well into his 30 plus years of doing clinics. I said, Paul, of all the hundreds of guys that you've did a clinic with, how many did you walk away from and go, and you know what? You just kind of took a mental note. That guy's got it to be a world champion. And he went, maybe two. And it just shocked me. I just thought, surely out of hundreds, I said, Paul, is it about ability? I said, are you saying that only two had the ability? He goes, oh, no. He said, I've seen tons of ability. But he said, it's an attitude. He said, I've seen maybe two that had the attitude that could maybe get them to that level of being a world champion. And I said, why is that? And this is what he said that just I've thought about so often. He said, because they couldn't learn anything because they were telling me what they already knew. And I thought, over the years, I've tried to apply that to me. How many times have I refused, not I refuse, but by my actions and by not having a receptive openness. How many times have I could have learned something new in God, but I was too busy trying to convince either a person, myself, or God how much I already knew? There I wasn't fully open. Now listen, the parents in here, I'm the proud parent of 5 children. And parents, how many of you have ever heard your little toot at 3, at 4, 5, 6, however, say something, and you had the awareness, you need that. But because, well, I'm the parent, maybe we weren't as receptive as we could be, and that water that was being poured into our lives splashed and didn't get used because we didn't receive it. How many times has another person in your life, and I'll just tell you, naturally, if it comes from somebody your age, you got to be careful. If it comes from somebody younger, you got to be real careful, because what do they have to tell me? Right? Not this week, but last week, little Carson and I were talking about something, and we were just having a great discussion. And he said something, and I'm telling you, it arrested me. And I looked at him, and he responded back. He said, "Dad, what are you looking at?" It so hit me between the eyes. And I knew instantly, I was faced with a decision. Are you going to receive what he just said? But I'm telling you, it was the God of the universe speaking to me. Now, pride. I'm 53. Yeah, it was before my birthday. I'm 53. He's 11. What can I receive from him? I mean, I didn't come to Carson and say, "Honey, I need some wisdom. Can you help me?" But when he spoke, it was when he spoke, I can see the look on his face, I can hear the timbre of his voice. When he spoke, I knew instantly I was faced with inside, are you going to receive that from God? Amen? Now, how many of you know you got to work on a lot of things to do that? I mean, for us parents, we know more than our kids. Well, of course you do. You're older. You know experience. You know life because you've experienced more of it. But how many of you know if we want to develop a receptive heart in God, here's the thing. Have you ever done this when you've prayed? Have you ever prayed to God about something? And if you were to analyze your prayer, not only did you ask about it, but you scripted how you think he ought to do it. Any of us ever done that? Start listening to your prayers. And I bet you we do it more often than we think. We go to God, "God, I need your help in this." And then we'll just keep going on in our words and what we end up doing. And "God, I need you." And if we were to dial it out, we've asked God and then we've told God and given him the script as if to say he's not smart enough to meet the need. Amen. So when I get thinking about a receptive heart, I just think, what does that look like? What does a receptive heart really look like? What does a teachable heart look like? And I think we need to challenge ourselves. Proverbs 10:18 says, "The wise in heart will receive commands." The wise in heart will receive commands. Now stop and just think. You probably edited that and put a subtext to it already, right? Proverbs 19:20, "Listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days." If we were honest, we all probably, it may be not right now, but in our past or maybe in the future, you may be aware of, we will subtext that out and say something like this: "I will receive a command," subtext, "if it's from somebody that's not this, 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 or from somebody that's this, 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 this. Bless God, nobody's going to tell me what to do." Am I right or wrong? Just inside. How many of you have ever dismissed something from somebody when you may have made a mistake that it really was wise, but because we scripted it, we just blew it off? Right? So listen, if God can speak through a donkey, maybe we ought to open up our heart. Because listen, I've been guilty. You've been guilty. We've all been guilty. Listen to counsel and receive instruction. All of us here in here would probably, if we could really get honest and admit, well, if God speaks to me, I will. But how many of you know God can use a whole bunch of things and people to speak through us? Speak to us, right? And then move through us. If we want to develop that open heart from God, I think it's important that we don't script it. Because I could name something from every one of my children that they've said things. I can't remember all the things they've said. But there's points in my life that I can tell you something about every one of my children that I've learned something from. Now, why would that be the case? Think about it. Why would that be the case? If God indwells them, right? And they're uniquely formed and fashioned in the image of God, then they're going to express a part of God that, if I could say it this way, that I need. Amen? I've learned from babes, if I could say it that way, and I've learned from the white-haired. And I mean white-haired as in really old. Right? How are we on the continuum? How open are we on the continuum? Because listen, I think it's easy for us as Christians to say, well, I'm saved. Isn't that enough? That's enough to be a part of the family of God. But how many of you know that's just because we're saved, that's not enough that ensures our growth in God. And these early Christians, when Jesus ascended up on high and they had those time in the upper room and in that time of prayer and fellowship, unity was the result of it. And how many of you know when you get things united in God, things can happen. And when that happened, they now set out on this trail. They don't have a guidebook in front of them. All they have, and when I say all, I don't mean as if it's not enough, but they have the Holy Spirit on the inside of them just like you and I do. And they had to have that place in their lives that they were fully receptive, open, and teachable to God. Now we see, even in the disciples in the book of Acts, we find that there was times that they had to have their eyes opened to teachableness, right? How many of you know Peter and Paul had a tussle? That right? And guess who ended up eventually changing? Peter. Had that heart. It's like, I don't know it all, right? And let's... Proverbs 4:10. Hear, my son, and receive. So just picture that trickle of water hitting that sponge, or that water and hitting that soil that has tons of organic matter in it, that it's just not even splashing. It's just, hear my son and receive my sayings and look at this, and the years of your life will be many. Wow. In John chapter 1 and verse 11 says this about Jesus. He came to his own and his own did not receive him. Now, we're here this morning. Most of us in here are probably committed Christians. We've given our heart to Jesus Christ. Okay? That's probably a safe bet. But how open are we to grow and to receive from God and from His moving? After the end of the first service, I had somebody catch me in the hall, tears in their eyes, and just said, wow, I just realized by what you talked about there, I just realized I've come to a spot in life that I think I know enough. I know enough. You know enough. You love God. You've invited Him into your heart. So you know enough to get into the family of God. But do we know enough about God? Are we teachable enough from God to grow further in God so that we can totally be a different person than when we started the walk in God? So that God can move through us with less effort, right? We had our the spout deal had, you know, we have a lot of hard water here in Idaho, and that spout deal just kept getting whatever, and to where when Drett and I would try to fill that bathtub up with water, it'd just take forever. I mean, you could go and watch a couple television shows and come back before it was ever full. And, you know, it was all over. It just got clogged over the years. Got a new one on, and I'm telling you, I've come close to running the thing over. Because now you turn it on and it works. It may sound silly to you, but I just wonder. I always liken things, and I thought about that. I thought, what in my life has allowed deposits of hardness that's just over the years shut off the flow of God in me. Amen? Amen? What over the years have I looked at and experienced? And because you experience, and especially if it's negative, it tends to goof things up, right? And I just wonder, you know, if God tries to pour stuff through me, does he have the idea that, you know, he wouldn't say it this way, oh, you can, yeah, it's on in him, but you can go watch a few television shows before it ever gets filled up. I don't want that. How about you? I want a full, clean, just pour it in and bring it out. Amen. I just want to be used of God. I want to be I hate to use the word channel, but I want to be a vessel. I want to be a vessel that God can use, that when he pours in me, the effect of it changes me, but then what he pours in me can be poured out to touch others. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast by Pastor Lynn Shaw of Amazing Grace Fellowship, Twin Falls, Idaho. We hope this teaching has inspired you with the word of truth, the reality of faith, and the message of the goodness of God.